Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Paul's writing to his young son in the ministry, Timothy, and he says, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory." Father, I come to you tonight, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to just look into your word, to be reminded of who you are and what you desire in our lives. And specifically, Lord, tonight we look at just an idea that Paul was giving to Timothy of how we ought to live if we are part of the body of Christ. What kind of church members are we really going to be, or are we? What does it mean to be a part of a body of Christ? Lord, I just pray that tonight you'll speak to us directly right where we are. Lord, I know that there may be many listening online tonight. I just pray, Father, that they will understand and know that the body of Christ is important to be together. And although they're watching online tonight, I look forward to the days when they'll come back and be a part physically of the body of Christ. Lord, I pray for the needs that we know of right now. I'll just lift up Danny to you right now, who's suffering from COVID. I'll also pray for his friend Abram. I'll lift him up to you. I pray both of them, Father, will get the attention that they need, get the help that they need, and that, Lord, you will bring them through this, and you will heal their bodies, Father. We thank you for the protection that you put around us. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you with any need that we have. And so, Lord, even now, we just thank you so much for always listening to our prayers and answering them. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, we did a study in a church that I was a part of. It was a fast-growing church. It was started out when we first got there. There was about 118 in the church. And about 4 years later, we were over 2,000. So it was a very fast-growing church. We had a lot of victories and beautiful things happening, but there were also a lot of issues that started to kind of come to the top. Because when you put that many people together that quickly, there's a lot of different personalities, there's a lot of different situations. And I found that a church is, unfortunately, not much different than any other walk of life. And that's unfortunate, because what kind of church members should we be? We all should be part of the body of Christ. But I think there's a lot of times in a lot of situations where people feel like they're important. And they need to be doing certain things, and they need to have the fanfare, and they need to be in the spotlight, and they need to be doing this or that. We will be looking in our study through the book of Romans very soon, after we pass the Christmas season, at the spiritual gifts that God gives us as Christians and how we are to use them. And all of it is based on one thing. It's not our gift, it's Him in us. It's Him working through us. It's His Spirit that enables us to do everything that we're supposed to do as Christians. And so with that in mind, I put down some things tonight that I want us to take a look at and just see what it is that God might be saying to our personal hearts. But one of the things that we did, when even in the midst of that growth period that we went through, we were regularly as a staff meeting together, praying and asking God to show us, even though the church was growing quickly, was it a healthy church? And these were some of the things that we talked about that we believed a healthy church would show. One of them was true worship, not just good music. I mean, love to have good music, but there's a difference between having good music or certain kinds of hymns or certain praise teams or whatever else, and worship, true worship. I've found in a number of places that I've been that there are some great musicians and they can sing lots of good songs, and I like the songs and everything, but it seems like there's an atmosphere of worship that's not there. It's more like they're doing their thing and everybody's watching them do their thing and they're performing and that's pretty much it. And that's not worship. And a spiritually healthy church, I believe, is a church where people come and they feel like it's a place of worship. Literally a place of worship. Not just the music, the kinds of music or anything. It's a place where I can come and be in God's presence and worship Him together with other people. Corporate worship is important. Another sign of spiritually healthy church is that I believe a spiritually healthy church will grow. The reason I know that is because if it's spiritually healthy, we're going to have a desire to reach other people. If a church is not growing, then we got to look and see in our own personal lives, is there something in my life that is causing that not to happen? Am I a stumbling block for somebody? Am I not doing the things that God may want to be done? We have to ask ourselves the hard questions. Also, a spiritually healthy church is a caring church. I can tell you this. I've seen more people come to know Christ because people loved on them and cared for them and met them at their lowest points and asked God to meet their needs. People, you know, the old saying is people don't know want to know how much you know. They just want to know how much you care. They don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And, you know, we're not here to try to impress anyone, but we ought to be here to love on people and to care for them and to meet their needs and to help them out. Also, a spiritually healthy church will be a giving church. In other words, this church, the churches that I've been a part of, many of them were giving churches. People gave out of the abundance of their heart. They gave. They were tithers. They were people who gave over and above the tithe. They were willing to give because they realized it wasn't theirs anyway. They were allowing God to use it in whatever situation. Another point I believe about a healthy church is that church needs to be thirsty for God. You know what it's like to be really, 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 really thirsty? You know, you're at that point where you're just like, man, if I don't get something to drink really quick, I don't know what's going to happen. Are we that thirsty for God? Are people in this church that thirsty for God? They want Him more than anything. And the last thing that we came upon was this, passionate. You know, some people are passionate about their jobs. They're passionate about their hobbies. I've been around people who all they can talk about is hunting or playing golf or whatever else. And it's just, you know, that's their passion. They talk about those things all the time. But do they talk about Jesus ever? No, not much. These are just things to give us an idea of a needful behavior that we ought to have in our life because the Holy Spirit's in control. When He's in control, we'll worship. When He's in control, we will grow. When He's in control, we will really care about other people. When he's in control, we'll give because it's not ours anyway. When he's in control, we'll be thirsty for a walk with him and a relationship that continues to grow daily. And we'll be passionate about people who are lost. I think as Paul was writing to Timothy, he was trying to relate to him that being a part of that church and ultimately being a pastor of that church was not going to be an easy thing. And he gave him multiple different instructions along the way. But he says here, I hope to come to you soon. I'm writing these instructions, the ones he has been giving. I'm writing you these instructions so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. A spiritually healthy church, and then a spiritually holy church. What I mean by that is we are a reflection of something. We either reflect ourselves and this world, or we reflect Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in most of the things that you do." No, in all that you do. We are to be holy in everything that we do. The word holy means set apart, different, absolutely changed from the inside out. In other words, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. People need to see and understand there is a difference in us. Do your friends and neighbors know that there's a difference in you? You're either going to be a holy person or a hypocrite. Now, I think a lot of people even have an aversion to the word holy because they think those are people who walk around acting holy. I didn't say to act holy. I said be holy, even as He is holy. There's a difference. And it comes from the relationship that we have with God, with the Holy Spirit living in us. We become a reflection of Him instead of trying to imitate Him. That's a needful behavior for a church. Secondly, a mindful behavior. Our identification is with God. In other words, people need to know, I believe with all my heart, people need to know what we stand for. We stand for God. We stand for the laws of God. We stand for the morality of God. We don't put in with all these churches that have decided to say, oh, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Just come and be a part. It does matter what you believe. It is God's Word. It's not our philosophy. And you know, we are His. We're His children. And so by saying that we're a Christian and by saying that we're His children, we need to identify with Him and what He has set forth in His Word. We are a household of God. In other words, every person that's a part of the body of Christ in this place is part of the household of God. We're His family. We're His children. But to do that, you must have a relationship with Him. A lot of people go to church, in fact, all their lives, and still don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It's a sad thing. If you don't have a relationship with Him, Jesus said, "You're not mine." This is His body of believers, not ours. In fact, we call this Calvary Baptist Church. That's a name that was given in the very beginning, and we still hold it out there, and it's on our sign and everything. But the thing is, this is really God's church. And it's all about Jesus Christ. So our identification needs to be with Him. Our consecration needs to be to Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His,' and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." In other words, we can't say that we love God and continue to do everything that we want to do, whether it's good or bad. Consecration means I've given myself over to Him. We are His, literally His. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says it like this, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Our actions should match whose we are. In other words, we can't say we're gods and then do whatever we want to do. Because to say we're gods means we really are His and He's in control. But then do what we want to do means I'm in control. And so we not only have a needful behavior, we need to have a mindful behavior of whose we are and who we're identifying with. I think one of the greatest parts of it is we ought to have a grateful behavior. Look at what verse 16 says. It says, "Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great." Now think of this. "He appeared in the body, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up to glory." We ought to be so grateful for the work of Christ and what He did for us. He took on flesh and dwelt among us, the virgin birth. God manifested Himself in such a way so that we could see what God was like. And so He came and He was born. And He led a virtuous life. In other words, God justified Him by everything that He did. Jesus never sinned. Everything that He did was a justification of God Himself in this personal life, showing people that they can live totally for God. His vicarious death. God Himself testified through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that He was willing to give His life for us. And then He did. And His victorious resurrection. Now folks, I mean, everybody loves Christmas, and I love Christmas, but the best day of the year is Resurrection Sunday. Because it just reminds us that death has no hold on Him. The work of Christ for us and the work of Christ to us. You see, a grateful heart will then produce a godly behavior. If I have a grateful heart towards God for what He's done in my life, it will change what I do. If you're ungrateful, you'll just do what you want to do. A godly behavior produces a glorious representation. In other words, when people start to see what God is like through what we say and what we do, it will bring a representation to them that they have not understood or seen before. A glorious representation produces a great church. In other words, when these things begin to happen in the body of Christ, nothing can stop the church from growing. There's one other thing I want to mention before we get into the last point. What's Jesus doing right now? What do you think He's doing? He's preparing a place for us. He's praying for us. In fact, the Scripture says He's ever interceding for us. Literally, He doesn't stop praying for us. Now, it's nice when somebody says, "Man, I've been praying for you," and I appreciate every time somebody tells me that. And I say it many times to other people, "I've been praying for you in your situation." But Jesus never stops praying for us. Never stops. You want to know what Jesus is? He's praying. He's praying for you, and He's praying for me right now. There's nothing better than that. Lastly, Paul puts it into this little section about Jesus himself. We have such a great Savior. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of Jesus, who He is great. And here it is. He appeared in the flesh. You know why? So we could know Him. You see, it was hard to know who God was when you couldn't see Him, you couldn't hear Him, you couldn't access Him. Only certain people could go into the inner parts of the tabernacle. It was difficult to understand who God was, except by learning His law. But Jesus appeared so that we could see who He really was. You can know Him. He allowed people to see Him, to touch Him. I mean, God in our midst. And He hurt just like any other human. He took the death of the cross. See, God didn't have to do that. But He made Himself a man and came so that we could see Him. He appeared in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit, it says. What does that mean? Literally, the word vindicated there means people could see the Spirit through Him. In other words, they had not understood the depth of who God was until they saw the Spirit in action through Jesus Christ. And so the question is, do people see that kind of thing through us? Do they see the Holy Spirit alive and well and active in our lives? He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by the angels. Now what does that mean? Literally means the indication here is that He was seen for who He is. In other words, a lot of people saw Jesus and thought, oh well, he's a good teacher, he's a great prophet, he's leading a band of guys, there's been other people do that, whatever else. But to be seen by the angels means they saw Him for who He really was. And we know who He really was. Colossians 1:15 tells us who Jesus was. He was the visible image of the invisible God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Is that on there, Paul? There you go. The Son is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all of creation. He was preached among the nations, Paul says. His word will not go out void. In other words, the truth about God will make a difference. You might say, well, listen, I've been telling so-and-so about God for years and it doesn't look like they're ever going to change. I'm telling you something, folks. The Word of God will not go out void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent. It will mean something. Now, I tell you, when it won't do something is when we don't tell anybody the Word. He was preached among the nations. He was believed on in the world. In fact, every tribe and every nation will hear of Him. There will be a day when every single person on this earth hears about Jesus. And there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And we are His ambassadors. God has chosen us as a church body, as individual believers and a part of the body of Christ, to be His ambassadors. Now, I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating. If you were asked by the President of the United States to become the ambassador to a nation, and he sent you to that nation, and you went to the embassy and you found your office and you got settled in, but you never met with any of the people of that country. You never did anything. You just enjoyed the luxuries of the embassy. And then when the president calls you up and says, "So what's happening with the relationships between this group and this group?" And you go, "I don't know." "Well, have you met with either of the leaders?" "No." Have you done any of that stuff that I've asked you to do when you went to be the ambassador of the United States?" "No." "Well, what have you done?" "I've just been in my office every day." We're his ambassadors. As though he was making his appeal through us. Lastly, he was taken up in glory. You see, he had to leave so that his Holy Spirit could come and dwell within us. And praise God, he's ever interceding for us. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord, I pray that we will become the kind of church that people will know. It's not about gimmicks. It's not about preaching or worship. It's about Jesus. It's all about you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.
Nice.